Greetings, everyone. This is Mar from VIP Conduit. Recently, I had the distinct privilege of interviewing Dave and Wendy Dorland as they spoke of their cruise to the country of Greece. You will be thoroughly entertained and educated as you come along with me on this fascinating adventure. Buckle your seat belts and let's embark. I just sort of was talking to your dad about how interesting it would be for me and perhaps others to hear about your trip and what the itinerary was and all of that sort of thing. And so he suggested that I call you or that I contact you and see if you'd be interested in telling us about it. So I'm really excited about this.
Well, good. Well, hopefully you can see it through our eyes a little bit. It was wonderful. We had a great time. Initially, we had planned to go to the Holy Land. And we had actually booked a cruise to go to the Holy Land because we were so excited and looking forward to that opportunity, just really wanting to see it all over there. But it was right after that that the war broke out. I mean, we had just booked about 5 days prior. And so obviously that changed everything. We just kind of sat tight for a little bit. Then Celebrity Cruise Line, which is a cruise line that we were on, sent us, maybe about 2 months or so after that, a change of itinerary, which we knew would be coming. And they gave us an updated itinerary. And we were given the option of either staying on that cruise or switching and going on to another one. But if we stayed, we had got some onboard credit and a couple things. And we thought, you know what, let's just stay. So it ended up becoming the 10-day cruise. And it was called the Best of Greece. We started out in Athens. And the ship was there overnight to begin with. And then after that, we went to Thessaloniki and then to Ephesus.
Are those places still there or are they called something different now?
That's what they're called now. Cyprus was another one, which Cyprus was called Kittim in the Old Testament.
Okay.
And then we went to Rhodes, Greece, and then to Crete. And from there, we went back to Athens. That's what the itinerary was. Dave and I traveled over. The weather was bad here, or looking like it was going to be bad. It'd been fine, but there was a lot of talk about thunderstorms and some kind of severe ones the day that we were to be leaving. And we got an email from American Airlines a couple days before we went out saying that we could switch our flight free of charge. And we did do that and went to Athens another day early. So we were actually in Athens 3 nights before we got on the ship.
How long did it take you to travel all in all?
22 hours.
It was more than, that was flight. I don't know. I'm trying to think because it gets so confusing because all of the time changes in there.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
We had a 6-hour layover in Heathrow. We had a layover in Charlotte.
Oh, no.
so we left here. Dave says it was 22 hours.
Oh, wow.
I was thinking it might have been a little longer than that, but he says 22. So in that ballpark, it was about, both ways. It was about a day of travel by the time you got everything in. And so, of course, the long flight was from Charlotte to London to Heathrow.
Yeah, right.
And that was about 8 hours?
Nine.
9 hours, yeah. 8-9 hours in there.
Oof. That is a long time to be on an airplane.
Yeah, we were really fortunate both times, though, because nobody sat by us on both trips. So it did free up that seat, and that made a lot of difference just to be able to...
A little sprawling room there.
Sit a few things there, because those seats are none too big.
Oh, I know.
So, not at all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, they're not that they crowd them in there pretty tight these days.
Yeah, and they say, the one was going over, it was an overnight flight, so you're supposed to be able to sleep, but Dave and I knew that one sleep very well on the airplane. I mean, it's that sitting up and everything.
Right.
So for me, it's really hard for me to switch, you know, to get out the rid of the jet lag when I am going over.
Oh, I know.
It's much easier coming home for me. Mm-hmm. I think he was a little bit of the opposite, but getting over there, I was like, I'm ready to take a nap now.
Yeah. I think for me, part of it is because I'm ready to go home, and I know I'm going to be in a comfortable, familiar place. And I think that adds a lot to, and of course I haven't had that large of a jet lag, just the 2 hours from California to central time zone here, but I can't even imagine that much of a jet lag.
Well, and the other thing that happened while we were over there is that, because we were there from the 7th of March to the 17th, those were the ship dates. Those were the cruise dates. So we actually were over there a little longer than that, because we actually spent one night too after the cruise, just because of the flight times. We could get a better flight if we did that. But it also changed to daylight savings time while we were here. So there was a lot of thinking on, okay, what time is it where? So.
Yeah. So was this specifically a Christian-based cruise, or was it just general?
It was general.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not a Christian-based cruise, although you choose your own, all of your excursions that you want to do. Dave and I spent quite a bit of time reading up on those and thinking about those, and we chose ones that were more biblically based.
Okay.
And so, because those were things we were wanting to see. So,
what a surreal experience, you know, to be in all those places where Paul preached and traveled and things like that. That would be something.
It really was. It was really very exciting. And yeah, I don't know that we were anywhere where Jesus walked, but we were very much where Paul walked.
Yeah, because where Jesus was south farther, wasn't it?
He was, well, he was in Israel a lot, but but Paul was the one, yes, he was very much in this area. I mean, he was in Athens,
right?
In Thessaloniki. His ship stopped in Rhodes overnight there one time. Crete has some references to a Barnabas.
Oh, really? How cool.
Wait, I'm telling you wrong.
Go through your notes.
That was Cyprus that did.
Oh, okay.
Cyprus is the one with Barnabas, not Crete.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, we saw, and I'm still, you know, I think the one thing that is, having been there, has done for me is to, it has really excited me to learn more even still now, you know, so I've been doing more research now even than I had done before, so. Yeah, and I learned some more. I watched a YouTube today on Paul in Athens.
Okay.
And how much he'd done over there at the Acropolis. That, you know, I mean, he was able to convert some people that really preached and made a huge difference going through Europe and things.
Was this all in the country of Greece?
Everything was Greece, yeah.
Okay.
Except for Ephesus is Turkey.
Oh, that was in Turkey. Okay.
Yeah, Ephesus is in Turkey.
Okay. Are these cities pretty modern now, or are they still pretty primitive?
They're very modern, but the problem is there's some of the older areas still there, and so some of the roads are very narrow. At times, you know, like, traffic is an issue. I mean, you should see the cars over there.
Oh, really?
The motorcycles. It's all those little tiny, what do you call them? They're smart cars, kind of the little tiny ones, two passenger.
Okay.
Those are the kind to have. They buzz in and out between things. A lot of people on motorcycles and mopeds. I think there's probably a lot of deaths over there and a lot of injuries because the motorcycles cut in and out between traffic and around, and I mean it's just crazy how they do. And when they go to park, They double park. They're in between. The motorcycles are turned sideways.
Wow.
To the cars in between things. They are, I don't know how some of the cars get out because they're so tight. They're pretty much bumper to bumper. It was, I believe it was in Crete that there was a narrow road and we were in the bus, the big coach, and he went to turn down the street. We needed to go down. And there was a car that was parked close to the corner, and actually a couple of them. The bus was unable to make the turn. And I mean, I happened to be sitting in the middle of the bus on the left-hand side behind the driver where the car was parked. And I mean, it looked like we were going to knock it good, but we never did. Our tour guide got off and went up into a house. Or up to a house and was knocking and ringing doorbells at a couple of them trying to find the owner of the car to come move it. Nobody ever came out to move it, but finally a couple people on the street got out and they were guiding the bus driver and he was able to jockey the bus back and forth.
Wow.
And finally get us through. But yeah, some of the roads are real narrow, but the cities are pretty big and modern. They're busy, big cities.
So did you travel from place to place mostly on buses then?
Well, by ship from island to island.
Oh, these are islands?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes.
I thought they were all mainland.
They're all in the Mediterranean. They're all islands.
Oh, my goodness.
No, except for Athens, and Athens is part of the... Athens is right there on the sea, but, I mean, it's part of a much bigger area to where, you know, there you're going to get out away from the sea. But, no, everything else was an island, some bigger than others.
Wow.
But, yeah, they're all islands.
I did not know that.
That's why they travel by ship so much in the boats. And the ships.
Yep. Yes. And yep. Because there was a lot of talk about that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I guess I didn't really connect the dots there.
Yep.
That's interesting. Yep.
That's why, like in Rhodes, there's a bay that Paul, I don't know that it was a storm that took him to that area, but I'm not sure that it wasn't, or if he just needed a place to, I don't know, to get out, you know, and to rest for a bit or what, but there's like a bay area there where you could see the bay right there and came clear in, and that's where he stopped and stayed overnight. I don't think he was there very long in Rhodes, but yeah, I mean, they would come by ship and go to the different places.
I would imagine now, after seeing these places, now when you read the account of Paul's travels, it'll have a much more meaningful, I can't think of the word I want to say. It'll be much more meaningful.
It is much more. It's very meaningful. Really, you can almost visualize, you know, some of the things that happened and things. And
mm-hmm.
The amphitheater where he preached is still there.
Oh, is it?
That's in Ephesus.
Okay.
That we saw that. Those ruins in Ephesus are fabulous.
Is that like 10,000?
It was huge. I don't know. Dave says he thinks it's at like 10,000 people. I don't think it was close to that.
So is it just like a big, are there like bleachers in it, or how is it set up?
Into a mountainside.
Well, that was carved into a mountainside, that amphitheater was.
Okay.
And it's like a stadium where the bench, you know, the bench type seating goes up. Now, we were not able to get into that. The tour guide said you'd been able to get into it up until not very long ago. And they'd had a concert there, and some locals, she said, some younger locals were so rough in there that they caused damage, and they have shut it down since.
Oh.
So we did not get to go up into the amphitheater. But boy, we walked down a lot of the original roads there and things. Now, those parts of the areas are very old. I mean, yes, and not modern at all, but... You know, those are close, but those are the ruins that we're talking about. There's a difference between the ruins and the modern city, you know.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, you weren't on the road to Damascus, were you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I think that's north farther, isn't it?
I'd have to look at a map, yeah, to be honest with you. I'm not real sure. But you know, I can tell you, I mean, like Paul wrote the letter, Ephesians was the letter that he wrote, the book of Ephesians, to the people in Ephesus where that amphitheater is.
Right.
And, you know, Thessalonians to Thessaloniki and people there. And we were in all those ruins and saw all those things.
Wow.
And we did not do the Acropolis this time. We did that about 15 years ago when we were there with our son. And there's a whole lot of climbing and walking around there. And Dave's knees in particular are bothering him. He's going to have a knee replacement coming up. And
so
we didn't hike that, but we did go to the Acropolis Museum. They had like old dishes there.
Oh, and how fun.
Statues. And one thing that was interesting is the kings all like to have their, you know, faces out there at all the fans, at their big buildings and things. And you would have been amazed at, if you could see the Romans and the Greeks were really, really advanced in their building.
Mm.
I mean, when you see these cities, I mean, of course, now they're not all in perfect condition, but the ones in Ephesus, you could still see a whole lot of what had been there.
Wow.
And I mean, the plumbing that's underneath, I mean, the Romans in particular were good at plumbing and they knew how to do things.
Wow.
But so the kings like to have their statues up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they ended up doing is they had the pillar or the bodies built, but then they would take the heads off when the next king came into place.
Off with their head.
Off with their head and put on another.
That's funny.
And so in the museum, they have a bunch of the heads that had been up there. But you still had the original body out there, but they found that to be a lot easier way of dealing with all that.
That is interesting. So the thing that amazes me, even, you know, places like in England and, you know, some of these places, that the architecture in other parts of the world is so much older than what we have around here.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we've been in Rome as well. And I would say Rome is a city where you really see that in.
Mm-hmm.
More than Athens.
Marlene?
Yes.
There's a saying where we think 100 years is a long time, which is comical to the Europeans.
Oh, I'm sure.
While the Europeans think 100 miles is a long ways, which is comical to us.
That's an interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
When Dave and I were in Rome several years ago, we were trying to follow our tour guide down the street, and she'd been born and raised in Rome, and she was moving fast, and there was about 40 of us tailing her from our bus. There was a van that came down the road, and that street was so narrow that van took up the width of the street.
Wow.
And the sidewalks are raised. We had to get up on the sidewalk and jump into a storefront, into a store right there, in order to not be hit by the van.
Oh,
they're
my
that
goodness.
Narrow in Rome, in those areas. I mean, because they don't touch those older areas, but that's where, you know, like I talk about the crazy driving and the mopeds and those smart cars. That's true all over Europe because of what you're saying. There are those older areas.
Right.
Athens had some areas that were very old, but they also have a lot more areas where it's more modernized, that are more recent in their buildings. So
do people live in those ruin areas?
Well, Athens, if you think about it, the entire modern city is built upon the old Athens of old. So every time they go to build a new building, they dig down and they'll find remnants and columns and ancient artifacts from 3,000 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. Over time, the land raises because I guess of dust storms and volcanic activity and all the different things that occur.
Are these islands volcanic?
A lot of them.
Yeah. There are a lot that are, yeah. But that's not the only way that it rises, you know. I mean, there's other things that occur. I guess that's a scientific lesson that I'm probably not equipped to teach. But I know that it happens. And that when you walk around Athens in particular, you see it more there than I have in other cities. But there's they'll have an area where it's like an open area. You can look down and they're excavating down there. They've got the archaeologists down there working and going through things. And you see the ruins all over because as they've been doing something else, you know, building up, they find things underground.
So once they find these artifacts, do they place them into museums or what do they do with them?
Yeah.
Yes, they do. And I mean, I think they treasure all of the, you know, things that they find. So they do go into museums or they block them off and start making an area underground where they're saving it. So you can at least look down and see. But
is the Parthenon in Athens or am I all wet?
Yes,
that's in Athens.
Oh,
it's
I'm not all
top
wet.
Of the hill. It's way up on a hilltop.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we were there. That's in the Acropolis. That's the Acropolis means at the top of a hill.
Oh, okay.
And the Parthenon is in the Acropolis.
What exactly is it?
It was all built by Zeus. And for Zeus, you know, and it was because of him. It was a city. And part of it, there's things up there that were built to honor Athena. The Greeks were, you know, I mean, their false idols are one after another. And so the Acropolis area was very much all of that.
Is that where all the mythology stuff originated?
Oh, yeah. Greek mythology was huge over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they still talk about Greek mythology on some of that. Of course, it's their history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of talk about all of that. I don't know that they believe it so much anymore, but I mean, it is part of their history, and they tell the stories to this day. And some of them are so, I can't even tell them to you because they're so far-fetched, they didn't make any sense to me at all. I thought, why anybody would ever believe those things, you know?
Yeah.
One of them was, I can't tell you which one it was, but saying that siblings lived inside, somebody's siblings lived inside of their father, and the father finally was killed and the siblings came out alive years later. I'm like, tell me why anybody would believe that.
I mean, oh my God.
I just don't get it. You know,
that
really
is amazing.
Don't.
Oh my.
Dave says that was Zeus. So,
oh, okay.
And I think it was. And Zeus was the sibling that had been alive, but it was his sibling. So it's off the wall stuff.
So what did you find anything unexpected or surprising there that you didn't expect to see?
I will say this, and it wasn't that I didn't expect to see it. In my mind, when Greece is a beautiful, beautiful place, because I see pictures of Santorini, and I've been to Santorini. I mean, Dave and I have been so fortunate to be able to travel quite a lot. And Santorini is a beautiful Greek island with white buildings and blue roofs, and it's built up high in a hill. And the Mediterranean is extremely blue in that area. Gorgeous, just gorgeous. And in my mind, Greece was going to be beautiful in a lot of the islands that we saw. I wouldn't say it's not pretty, but it's not Santorini. It wasn't anywhere near as pretty as I expected it to be. I thought that I loved Greek food. I found out I don't.
Oh.
I like Americanized Greek food.
Uh-huh.
I did love Greek salads. Their cheeses are fabulous. Love their cheeses. They have goats all over. They don't have cows. So there's a lot of goat cheese. Goats and sheep are their things. And so there's a lot of goat cheeses. And they were fabulous. They have a lot of lamb over there. And mm-hmm. I can't say it was as bad. I just can say I can't eat it. I mean, I just can't do it. It's just me. I just can't. We went to a meat market. We went through a meat market, not really intending to. We did a Greek cooking class in Athens, and that was a lot of fun. And they took us to a market. The fruits and vegetables were beautiful there. I mean, the outdoor market. That was a lot of fun. And across from it was a meat market. And they asked us if we wanted to go through, and Dave said, sure. And we walked over there, and that was a lot for me. I was like, I could become a vegetarian at this point right now. It was awful. I mean, I don't know how much you want to know, but eyes and heads and, you know, like, oh,
well, yeah.
I was like, I can't do this.
And people ate those things?
I guess they do.
Oh, my.
I don't know. I just don't know. But I don't know why they would have them there if they didn't.
But I guess that's true.
I don't know. But there were some things that I thought, maybe I don't want to know any more about this. I just was done with that. So those were things that, yeah, I guess surprised me. Like I say, I've traveled enough and been to Greece some that I knew some, you know, some of the other things.
A lot of rice,
yeah. Oh,
okay.
And Greek salads, I love a Greek salad here, and I love it there, but it's not the same Greek salad. Their Greek salads do not have lettuce.
Really?
No, none.
So what do they have in them then?
A lot of cucumber, tomato, onion, red pepper, feta.
Capers,
olive oil, and oregano.
Wow, interesting.
But no lettuce. And there were different twists to it. I mean, but just you never saw no lettuce at all in any of them.
Is it because they don't grow it there or?
They had a lot of good vegetables.
Yeah, I don't know either. I that's just how they make it. That's how they do it. I don't know. And it was good. And I've done it since we've been home. I've made it some that way and we've enjoyed it. And we learned to make the tzatziki sauce. And that's really yummy too. I mean, that was just Greek yogurt, plain Greek yogurt. And they said that you really want the really thick plain Greek yogurt, like a Chobani or the real thick ones. But so the tzatziki sauce is the yogurt and then garlic, like a chopped garlic, minced cucumbers. We minced the cucumbers and we grated them. And then you had to get the water out of them. And you did that with putting on some salt on them and then pushing them with a spoon and then patting them dry with a paper towel and putting those in there.
So that's kind of like the sauce that they put on gyros, right?
Exactly. That's what it is.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what it is. But yeah, that was really good. I could give my dad the recipe for that so that you guys could put that on. I actually have the recipe for that one.
Did you do most of your eating on board the ship, or did you eat some in the places where you went?
We did both. I would say lunch and dinner, we ate all on the ship. Sorry, breakfast and dinner, we did all on the ship.
Okay.
But all of our lunches, if we were on an excursion, we had lunch there on the Greek islands.
Okay.
I feel like we had a very good mix of things and that I can honestly say I've had a lot of authentic Greek food.
Is there anything that you did that stands out as something really special and unique?
I think my favorite ones, if Dave agrees, was in Cyprus, and which is where Lazarus had a church there, and we've gone to see all that. Had been through that. That was very, very interesting. But from there, we went to, we saw bees. They raised bees there and we tasted honey. And that was interesting and fun. But after that, we went to another village. And I would say it was kind of a house that there was a man, I think he's probably mid-40s, had purchased. And he had kind of turned that house into, I'll call it, a combination of a store, a restaurant, and his personal home. Mm. And he is a basket maker, and he also is a chef, and he makes homemade cheeses. his home, that area was beautiful. He had a hallway just full when you walked in of baskets, and it was so nicely done and displayed. And it was the old traditional Greek house that we got to go into and see. And then when you walked on out there a little bit farther, he had, it was like an open air, there's no roof up on there. And he had that's where the restaurant kind of was. And there was a koi garden in there and gorgeous flowers and little tables. Then we were able to go into his house and he showed us this. He had done it in a traditional Greek home and we could see that. And then he showed us how to make a homemade cheese. And it was a very Greek name, and I can't even tell you what it was, but it was similar to a mozzarella, but he had some mint in there and some little, I don't know, just salt and pepper and spices, and it was so good. And he served us a nice snack of that. It was warm when he gave it to us. It was yummy. And fresh bread and cucumbers and tomatoes. And that day, there were just 6 of us in our group, and we had the nicest group of people, and it was just so quaint and so special. And Dave and I really enjoyed kind of getting out of the city and doing things like that. And it was a wonderful day. That was my favorite.
I like the ruins we went through in, was it Ephesus?
Ephesus, yeah.
The ruins there in Ephesus were huge. I mean, you could literally, you were walking down this road on the original cobblestones and what was left of the homes and the businesses and the market, the columns of the big government offices and everything were still partially standing and everything. But, I mean, you could walk up and touch it. Where, like, in other Greek ruins we've been to,
ruins,
you know, were Mykonos and stuff, where it was look but don't touch. This, you were actually in it, and you could walk up and take a picture standing next to a column and put your arm around.
Oh, that's
cool.
And
I know one thing I'd like to tell you about that area. There was a symbol that was, it ultimately looked kind of like a pie that was cut into
stone.
About 6 pieces, and it was carved into the stones on the road, and it was in multiple places. And there's 6 Greek letters that together, when they put them together, it meant Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Savior.
Oh,
and they
neat.
Engraved it in those marble slabs, and it was their predominant symbol until the cross became one later on. But it was to say that we are converted. We are now Christians.
Oh, wow.
And seeing that, I'm with Dave. I mean, I think those 2 days, that day, as far as the ruins and the biblical things, was my favorite by far when we were in Ephesus.
It's interesting, the history of that area. At one time, you know, it was Romans and then became Christian, and then it would be overrun by the Turks, and they would come in and knock the church over, which was basically a Catholic church back then, and set up a mosque. And then Romans and Greeks would come back and knock, you know, run them off, and then it would become a church again. and it's to this day, you know, we've got the same thing going on, you know, between Muslims and
Christians,
Jewish,
yeah,
Christians and Jews. And it went on back then. So, you know, you look, well, this used to be a mosque. Now it's a church. But then there was a time when it was a church, but then it became a mosque, you know?
And, yeah. What was the weather like there?
We were very blessed in that it was very nice the whole week. I'd say 60s, maybe 70 during the day.
And
was,
yeah, 65 and 75 the whole time we were there.
Oh, that's perfect. That's
and
nice.
Sunny. Yeah. And they said it was cooler the week before, and it started to rain, or it was supposed to be rainy after we left. But it was, every day was beautiful when we were there. It was a huge blessing that way.
That's neat. I'd like to thank you so much for doing this for me. Now, I was curious, and I figured the only way I could really find out about it is to talk to you personally and hear all this cool stuff. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I don't want to take too much of your time, but before we wrap this up.
I think it's just been fun to reminisce and think about it. And it's been fun to talk to you about it. It's like, you know, I mean, we've been blessed to go, and I hope that you were able to see a little bit through our eyes, because it was a fabulous experience.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was in school, I hated history, and I hated, you know, learning about things like this. It was boring to me. But now that I've gotten older, I am just fascinated by this kind of stuff. And it just, I love to hear things like this from people that have actually been there and experienced it.
Have you ever watched The Chosen? And I don't know, being blind, if it would do the same thing for you as it does for us or not. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. And I just found out recently that they now have what they call audio description on it.
Uh-huh.
So okay. It does explain. In fact, I actually went onto the website on Tuesday, and I just listened to a little bit of it because we had a Bible study that day, so I wasn't able to listen to that much. But I want to now listen to it again with the description, because it's just so neat. It tells what everybody is wearing. It tells what their expression on their faces are. It describes mm-hmm. the layout of their homes. And, it, you know, it just brings it
That's
all
awesome.
Alive for us. And of course,
that's wonderful.
Before, you know, there's a lot of places in those shows where there isn't much going on verbally, or, you know, it's all just action.
Mm-hmm.
And this now will bring this more to alive for us. So,
well, yeah. I'm so thankful they're doing that. The reason I bring it up, Mar, is that I feel like, too, as I've gotten older, I've done a lot more. I've read my Bible a whole lot more. I've watched The Chosen now, and Dave and I don't watch it just one time. We watch it over and over and over, because the more I watch it, the more I hear, the more I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having seen that has opened up my mind to what would have gone on then in Greece and in these places we go when we see all these ruins in these ancient areas. And I have just really, really appreciated those, you know, opportunities to pull it all together.
Yeah, so that is
each
that
one
is...
of them, you know. So, but yeah, it's been a wonderful time. So, but anyway, thank you so much for talking to us.
Well, thank you for agreeing to talk to me and just to relive what you did and kind of give us an idea of some of the things that you experienced. And I'm going to be editing this recording and running it on VIP shortly. So thanks for your input as well, Dave.
You're welcome.
It's been fun. We had a good time together. So
yeah.
Thanks again, and you take care, and I will talk to you soon.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.